Listening to special election coverage from South Dakota Public Broadcasting here on a special edition of Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And joining me now is Mike Thompson. He's an associate professor of criminal justice at the University of Sioux Falls. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Yeah. What, I mean, we've seen the nomination blocked by Congress.
True. Yep.
And has gone unfilled. Now what?
I would imagine that nomination will be withdrawn and President-elect Trump will have his own nominee.
And what kind of impact is this going to have?
I think everybody is sort of freaking out about the fact that whoever the president was would be able to guide the direction of the court through appointments. And of course, President Trump is going to have a chance to, of course, nominate one justice, so we get back to our nine. But the history really shows that once a justice gets on the court, that they're really insulated, or they insulate themselves from politics. Mm-hmm. And insulate themselves from what would be legislative activity. So I'm not real fearful of anybody that he or any other president might appoint, because I think historically the court reveres itself and doesn't give in to politics. But that could be my own naivete and idealism.
Could we see some big issues overturned with a change in the court?
I don't think so. Roe versus Wade is the one that is talked about often, the decision that's been law since 1973. You've seen the composition of the court change, obviously, since that time, and there have been justices on the court who I think have a personal belief that the case was wrongly decided. If you remember back during Judge Bork's nomination proceedings, that was a big deal because he wrote a book that Roe versus Wade was wrongly decided. So I think there have been justices on the court who would prefer that not be the law, but they haven't. They've had repeated chances to deal with Roe and to confine it or to lessen its impact, and they haven't taken it. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Death penalty, also another one.
Yeah, the death penalty is a big one. And I think with the court at 4-4, the court hasn't wanted to look at the death penalty and its constitutionality again. That might change with a new justice. I would rather the court, if we get a justice on there who is in favor of the death penalty, I think there's enough jurisprudence out there to support the continuation of the death penalty under the court's current jurisprudence. But I would hope that the court would stick with the results of its prior decisions. It's difficult in cases like that, if they have a 5-4 decision, to do something drastic with the death penalty, because then it doesn't have as much support among the states that
Right.
it could have.
Okay, so you talk about, you know, how the justices kind of isolate themselves and away from politics. But they get there, though, because of
Right.
politics.
True.
Right?
Yeah. True, yep.
Right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Some of the people on Donald Trump's list are worthy, are political, fair?
Yeah. Well, fair is a subjective term. But the ones that I've seen on the list, and I haven't looked at the list in great detail, but the ones on the list are already either federal judges. Most of them are already federal judges. So they know how the system works and know how to abide by precedent. I think that's everybody's worry, it seems, is that if you change the composition of the court, all of a sudden all of these cases are gonna change and be overruled.
Precedent rules?
Yeah, precedent rules, I think. And mm-hmm. I think the irony is the more conservative the justice is, the more the justice is labeled as a conservative, the more apt they are to abide by the doctrine that you should stand by decided matters. So I think that's the irony, and I don't think the court's gonna change its way in any huge fashion. Plus, Ruth Ginsburg now might start walking more per day so she can stay on the bench for a while longer.
Well, that, yeah, and that was my next question, because typically you see people ready to retire as a change in the executive branch.
Right.
We won't see that?
I don't think so. I don't think she'll retire unless it's compelled.
Okay, so the executive power, also a question before the court. Do you see that changing and what is allowed?
You mean the use of the executive?
Use of the executive power, sorry.
The executive orders?
Yeah.
Use of executive orders?
Yeah, sorry.
I think you might see some of President Obama's executive orders rescinded. I don't know if President Trump will view his executive order power like President Obama did. With the Republicans in control of Congress, I don't think he'll have to stretch it as far maybe as President Obama did.
Okay. So with the pledge and the support to repeal the Affordable Care Act, are we going to see that go to the Supreme Court? Do you see that moving that way, or do you see it just being accepted?
I don't. If it's repealed or voted, right. I don't see that issue going to the Supreme Court. I don't see that as creating, at least the way it looks now, creating a constitutional issue or an issue of federal law. But whatever is put in place could be subject to scrutiny by the Supreme Court, depending on how that affects all of our other constitutional protections.
Like the Affordable Care Act went.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming in, and we'll continue this conversation as things unfold.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.